The sun goes down, the stars come out, and all that counts is here and now. My universe will never be the same. I'm glad you came. I'm glad you came.
You are listening to Paramania Radio.
Views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Paramania, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
You are listening to Paramania Radio.
This chap is obviously a charlatan. I suggest we move on to a less...
Don't you disrespect me, little man. Don't you derogate or deride. You're in my world now, not your world. And I got friends on the other side. That's an echo, gentlemen. Just a little something we have here in Louisiana. A little parlor trick, don't worry. Sit down at my table, put your mind at ease. If you relax, it will enable me to do anything I please. I can read your future, I can change it around some too. I look deep into your heart and soul. You do have a soul, don't you, Lawrence? Make your wildest dreams come true. I got voodoo, I got hoodoo, I got things I ain't even tried. And I got friends on the other side.
He's got friends on the other side.
The cards, will tell. The past, the present, and the future as well. The cards, just take three. Take a little trip into your future with me. Now you, young man, are from across the sea. You come from two long lines of royalty. I'm a royal myself on my mother's side. Your lifestyle's high, but your funds are low. You need to marry a little honey whose daddy got dough. Mom and dad cut you off, huh, playboy?
Sad but true.
Now y'all gotta get hitched, but hitching ties you down. You just wanna be free, hop from place to place. But freedom takes green. it's the green you need. And when I looked into your future, it's the green that I seen. On you, little man, I don't wanna waste much time. You've been pushed around all your life. You've been pushed round by your mother and your sister and your brother. And if you was married, you'd be pushed round by your wife. But in your future, the you I see is exactly the man you always wanted to be. Shake my hand. Come on, boys. Won't you shake a poor sinner's hand? Yeah. Are you ready? Transformation Central.
Transformation Central.
Reformation Central.
Reformation Central.
Transmogrification Central. Can you feel it? You're changing, all right. I hope you're satisfied. But if you ain't, don't blame me. You can blame my friends on the other side.
Now what you wanted.
But you're not what you
hate.
Now what you hate.
So love that song. Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to Sunday Morning Spiritual. I am one of your hosts, Alan Cox. And the incredible Bishop David Parry is here as well. Hello, David.
Good morning to you, brother and father. How are you today?
I'm very well, thank you. Before we go any further, I'm reliably informed by Mr. Grey Rudd that the sun is shining in Blackpool. I've quickly looked up.
Why?
Well, I've looked up the records officially. It's the first time the sun has shined in Blackpool for 331 years.
That's bloody recent, isn't it, for Blackpool?
It is, isn't it? Because it's normally raining. But since Gray and Karen have moved there, right, they've took the sunshine with them. That's what it is.
Indeed. They took the good weather with them.
That's right. Exactly. Right. Well, our guest today is supposed to be Cara Banstead, one of the actresses on Shakespeare Tonight. But she got in touch with me late yesterday. Herself and a daughter have come down really poorly. They've just been away on holiday to Clacton-on-Sea for the half term. And come back poorly. So she's going to come on next week. So I believe that our dear friend, Father Johan Alstead, he's very kindly said he's going to come on, so I'll be calling you about 10:30. Johan, thank you very much indeed. That's excellent. So we've got about 25 minutes to, as they say, chew the cud, David.
That's psychic. I was thinking of exactly the same expression. Anyway, we've already had a psychic moment this morning, Father.
That was weird, wasn't it?
That was weird, yeah.
Before we come on, David and I were talking, and he said, oh, wait a minute, I'm wanted by Angelo, who lives in Brazil. So he goes off, and I can hear David going, hello, hello. And then I heard this man's voice talking. I thought, all right. And then David likes saying, I'm on air at the moment. I'll call you later. And then David comes back, and he says, there was nobody there.
Yeah, yeah. One of those moments. And do you know, we haven't charged £100 a head for people to even hear that story.
Well, we ought to.
This is where our business plan is going wrong, Alan.
It is, isn't it? Oh, dear. Yeah, well, it should be £100 to hear the story if everybody's listening, you know. So we need about, 10,000 people?
Yeah, Ray will have us for copyright if we're not careful.
Yes, he will.
This is the best gag of the year so far.
Oh dear me! Yeah, well, it's been a strange week. From your point of view, you said your last goodbyes to Jerry, your stepdad, and that's always and having to carry on with what you have to do. I understand it's been a very stressful time for you, David.
It has been a bit of a week, Father Cop. Yeah, I mean, I'm coming to the end of my invigilation duties at the university, which have been draining as usual. So I'm tired anyway, a cumulative tiredness over those. I think in real terms, it's because it's slightly longer. They have bits, either side. But it's about 4 or 5 weeks of, constant work. And of course, we've had the prep and the build-up to Hitchcock Homage, which is actually playing at the moment. Hi to anyone who's listening to this broadcast from the show. And yes, I mean, his passing was basically unexpected.
Yes.
There's the horrible spectre of either a misdiagnosis or negligence, severe medical negligence. I won't go any further with that. At the back of all of this, which is making it highly distressing, particularly for other members of my family. You know, my view is you just investigate and raise questions and keep going, but there's been no choice in my particular case. But no, that deeply disturbing and unsettling thought at the back of all of our minds that maybe this need not have happened is also there. And
yes.
I suppose, it's easy for us all to knock mainstream churches, Christianity, but let me say Roman Catholic nuns have, have stepped in to help the care of my mother, and certainly the local Roman Catholic priest, my stepdad was a Roman Catholic, that's the connection, was incredible at the funeral, to the extent that my brother's actually thinking of becoming a Roman Catholic. Wow. So, you know, and I can't fault them, I can't flaw them. You know, are there downsides to organized religions? Of course there are, we all know what they are. But let's never forget the selfless service that people also give. And we are very grateful to the local Catholic community for their ministrations and their friendship at this time.
Well, you see, I know we talk about different religions and their failings, but we have to remember that amongst all the failings, there are genuine people who are trying to live a good life and help others. So, it's a mixed blessing. In some ways, but that, you know, that's lovely that they're rallying around.
Alan, you know, is the real mystery here that at grassroots level you get the gems, you get the wonderful people, but as usual, the minute you start looking at the top, you end up with a group of gargoyles who only care about their own careers.
Exactly. You
know, are we looking at exactly the same thing as in any other institution? I bet we are.
Yes, indeed. Talking about, shall we say, religions and duties and that, I went to Peterborough Tuesday, just gone, to finalise the details for my first blessing christening with the parents and the grandparents. And that went extremely well, so I'm really looking forward to the 22nd of June, when I will carry out my first official duty as a Gnostic priest. So
every blessing, Alan. I mean, I'm sure it's going to be a huge success for everybody.
Yeah.
And a stride forward for spiritualism in Britain.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's about expanding, isn't it? Expanding knowledge and trying to bring lots of different people together. It's not about trying to indoctrinate anybody into a certain belief. It's about trying to open up to all different avenues of life. That's how I see it anyway, David.
Oh, definitely. You know, spiritualism is about participation with spirit. It's about the living experience of interacting with spirit, which is why I always get reticent. I always get a bit sort of down at heel when people try and build intellectual systems around spiritualism, which may sound odd coming from me, because I do think there's a time and a place for such things. But maybe spiritualism and spirituality is not that. You know, we all have our own unique interaction with spirit and the world of spirits. And, you know, it's good to theorize, it's good to think things through, and it's good to come up with ideas. But spirit, at the end of the day, is bigger than all of us, and we'll never know its mysteries in depth. I really think that. So every little fragment of experience, of knowledge, of interaction that we can describe to ourselves and other people is a blessing to the world. And we've got to encourage each other in that process.
Indeed. you see, I think that sometimes life throws things at us. And obviously, being human, you think, why is this happening? But if you look at it another way, it's about a learning curve. If you can take a positive thing out of a negative then that is always good. Just thinking for a moment, we've lost yesterday Muhammad Ali, and it's in a sense now that he's passed, it's shown exactly how much he actually meant to the world and how much he actually tried to help people. Now, on the last show with Julian Aslan, she said a fact that I didn't know. apparently that every time that he went to a boxing match, and he walked past the down and outs, the tramps, he would give each one of them $100 each time. Yeah. And we're going back many years ago when $100 was probably worth, I don't know, $500, $600, $700. Yeah. And he was asked at one of the times why he did it. And he said, well, he says, I'm earning such a lot of money, and $100 to that people will keep them alive, and they will be able to live with a little bit of comfort and self-respect for a certain amount of time. And that's why I did it. And he was in his, even though he fought, and I personally don't like boxing, but the fact that, you know, he went into a ring and the idea was to beat each other up, the fact is he was a great
humanitarian.
Yes, thank you for that. I couldn't get the word out. So, you know, there's always different sides to people. And if you think about the fact that he refused to go and fight, and what he said was, you know, fighting in a war, the object is to kill and kill and kill. He says it's totally different from going in a ring and having a fair fight. And he took on the establishment, and in the end he won. He was a very brave man, very brave man.
Yeah, he was just lucky I wasn't around at the time. Oh, Alan, look, we sometimes it's hard to see the real treasures of the human race, isn't it?
Yes.
You know, and I don't have a hang-up about the Nation of Islam, curiously. I mean, lots of people do. I mean, that's black power and black activism. You know, so that's that their side of some, you know, things we need to evolve beyond, and certainly white people.
Yes.
Forgive, have no excuse whatsoever, in my humble view. But, you know, he even used that to be a bridge connecting people, which shows the wisdom of the spirit. No matter where you are and what you're doing, and you know, what sort of relationship you have with those around you, it can all be used for the common good. A major, major loss with his passing. We actually said a quick prayer for him before last night's performance. A global level character, a genuinely good man, and I personally am very, very sad that he's passed.
Yeah, so, same here. Look, I know we said we was going to go on to 12:30, and we will, but I've got lined up here Muhammad Ali's song. Shall we play it now?
Let's play it, Alan.
Let's play it. Okay.
This here's the story of Cassius Clay, who changed his name to Muhammad Ali. He knows how to talk and he knows how to fight, and all the contenders were beat out of sight. Sing Muhammad, Muhammad Ali. He floats like a butterfly, stings like a bee. Muhammad, the black Superman, who calls to the other guy. Catch me if you can. Now all you fight fans, you've got to agree, there ain't no flies on Muhammad Ali. He fills the arena wherever he goes, and everyone gets what they pay for. Muhammad was known to have said, you watch me shuffle and I jab off your head. He moves like the black Superman and calls to the other guy, Ali. Catch me if you can. He says, I'm the greatest the world's ever seen, the heavyweight champion who came back again. My face is so pretty, you don't see a scar, which proves I'm the king of the ring by far. Sing Muhammad, Muhammad Ali,
me if you can. Catch me if you can. I'm Ali. Catch me if you can.
Some music to move your soul? Then sit down, put your feet up, and start rocking with Doc. Yay! Check the schedule for airtime. That's Rocking with Doc with your host, Dr. Dave, only on the Paramania Radio Network.
I don't know whether you know, but as well as him converting to Islam, the reason why he changed his name is because Cassius Clay, he saw that as a slave name, and he obviously wanted himself and all his people, if we want to use that expression, to be psychologically free as well as being free. So that was the reason for that. So I think he made a tremendous impact on the world, and he will go down in history, I think, as one of the world's great people. Anyway, while we're playing that, that guy with his Fife banana box, he went there with his dog, and he's there, and you're there in Hyde Park Corner, so off you go, Father.
Oh, right. and I'm looking at them too. Curious one today, a curious one today. Baron Dr. Karl von Rickenbach, 1788 to 1869. Now, this is sort of a friend of spiritualism, more than an active spiritualist, but he might have a foot in both camps. You know, our listeners can make their own mind up about that. A highly notable chemist, geologist, metallurgist, naturalist, industrialist, and philosopher, along with being a member of the highly prestigious Prussian Academy of Sciences, no mean feat in any generation, I hasten to add, best known to the world for his discovery of several chemical products that actually earned companies huge amounts of money. Tending curiously to be extracts from tar, such as, waxy paraffin and phenol, of course, which is an antiseptic. And I think he was probably the first to come up with that. He was also probably the first to use the word sensitives. He got very influenced at one point, very interested in the work of Anton Mesmer, the hypnotist, if that's the word we're looking for. And began researching people, Karl Rickenbach began researching people with very unusual high sensory ranges. He felt some people had senses, you know, hearing, seeing, touching, etc., that were unusually, I'm tempted to say unnaturally, but I'll stick to unusually, unusually vivid. And he said that could give different types of information, extra information, if you like, about the world we live in. So he is the first guy, I think, from my researches, to actually use the word sensitives for these people. Now, after all of this scientific research, and working with these sensitives, he began talking about something called odic force, O-D-I-C. Now, that's a kind of life principle, a life energy, which he said permeates everything. It's produced by living things, it permeates living things, it connects living things. Curiously, of course, Odd would have been one of the old German names for the god Odin, so I don't know what he's getting at there. But certainly he's saying, look, this is a power, it's an energy, it stretches beyond the natural, and we are part of it already. It's a part of being human. What do you make of that, Alan?
Yeah, quite incredible. You mentioned Odin there. I don't know if you're aware of this, but the town Wensbury, where Anne and I used to live, there's lots of references to Woden. Now there's Woden's Borough, and a lot of the roads are like Woden Road East, Woden Road West. There's a school named after it, Woden. There's the Woden Public House, which is on a hill overlooking the town. In fact, you've got like the bypass ring road, which is right by the town, and this pub looks over. And when I first started on this spiritual journey, and you're trying to work out how you're going to get the message out there, like a lot of clairvoyants, I started to go around to the local hostelry, shall we say, which I can see now is a total wrong place for it. But when you're naive and you're trying to get messages out there. And I was at the Woden, and in their snug, they've got this big plaque in the fireplace, a massive plaque of Odin on his chariot. And and from that fireplace, going down, there is a portal right to the underworld where Odin, is to his domain, and the energies in that place that are quite horrible, and I didn't know it got a reputation for fighting or what have you, and that. And that particular night that I was there, I was in the snug, and I could hear this real commotion and screaming and shouting coming from the bar, and somebody had broken a glass and cut somebody's throat.
That's terrible.
And it was absolutely horrendous. But that is actually, that pub is actually a link underneath there, straight to the underworld, and it's, yet strangely enough, the rest of Wensbury is a very peaceful place, and the people are so friendly. Yeah. Yet it's got this strange kind of link directly down to another world. Very strange, David. Very strange.
You know, as far as I recall, the stories of Odin, and that is strange. It's very interesting. I mean, don't forget, he was an all-father figure.
Yes.
And what makes him interesting, I suppose, he's almost sort of the archetype. He's almost the living blueprint of how you become an initiate, how you become openly psychic. And one of his quests as a god force, as a god figure, was to work out what the dead were doing, what the dead were like, what world they inhabited, what did they do all day. And that's one of the reasons he personally was crucified. I mean, I don't mean to upset anybody who's listening to this, and that's no disrespect to the Christian story whatsoever, which is a completely different story, of course.
Yes.
But he was crucified so he could learn the secrets of the dead, because he knew, I mean, they lived in a kingdom, according to the old heathens, ruled by a goddess called Hel, H-E-L. And that was some type of underworld. And the stories are strange. They're jealous of the living in some ways. They actually interact with us. You know, they sometimes walk past us, according to the stories, like everyday people, like average people, but they're staring all the time, which is how you can tell it's someone who's deceased, according to these stories, and not a living human being. They're staring, and they're envious of what they've lost. And Hel is such a powerful figure that even Odin, the Allfather, is very wary of her and her domain. Fascinating materials that maybe we need to revisit on our quest for indigenous spiritualism. I mean, after all, Woden is only the English, the anglicised name of Odin or Wotan,
yes,
which is Germanic.
Yes, indeed. It's strange how many different links to different worlds and different spiritual beliefs that Great Britain has. It's quite mind-blowing, really. Just thinking like Stonehenge and places like that, and then up in Scotland, the Stones of Brognach and that, which I've been to on Orkney. And it's quite fascinating how now all parts of the world have got their own different links, but it seems to be a catalyst there, doesn't it, in Britain?
Well, I mean, don't forget, for centuries and centuries, I'm talking a long time ago, I mean, this was a sacred island. Before it was generally inhabited, or the inhabitants were very, very few, depending how you look at it and who you read.
Yeah.
People would come here to do their rituals from the mainland, and then they'd go back to the mainland. They wanted this to be a place where ancestors were remembered, where the gods were remembered. And really, that's still here, I think. You know, in little secluded nooks and crannies of our country, it's still here. The remembrance of that is still here. You know, in heavily industrialised modern Britain, we can't say it's a sacred island anymore in that sense. But, you know, every now and again in very special places like Glastonbury, maybe the Rollright Stones I visited with Paul Obertelli quite recently, Stonehenge, of course, you know, those ancient, ancient echoes are still there. And I personally think the spirits may be slumbering, but they're still slumbering in those locations.
Yes, indeed. Talk about slumbering. I hope Johan is fully awake now, because I'm going to play a song, and then while it's on, I'm going to give you a call, Johan. So he says that he was a little bit tipsy, so I hope he's put gallons of coffee down him. I don't know what he was been up to.
This is what the modern clergy are coming to. My
head. Anyway, love is a many splendid thing before ISIS.
Is nature's way of giving a reason to be living. The golden crown that makes a man a king. And the world stood still. Then your fingers touched my silent heart and taught it how to sing. Yeah. and the world stood still. Then your fingers touched my silent heart and taught it how to sing. Yes, true love, all that is splendor
it, feel it, curl it, find it, view it, code it, jump and lock it, surf it, scroll it, pose it, pick it, cross it, crack it, twitch, update it, name it, read it.
If you want to learn about how paranormal investigators use technology, what we use, and how it works, then check out Tech Time with Brock and Doc every Sunday at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, only on the Paramania Radio Network.
A song caught me out. How dare you do that to me, the Four Aces.
The swine. The swine.
I'll have to have a word with them. In spirit. That's probably where they are. Anyway, welcome.
So we've got a drunk priest on our hands.
Welcome. Yeah, welcome, Father. Yeah, oh, dear me. Been at the sherry again, have you? So welcome anyway, Johan. Welcome. So
thank you.
And what's life like over in Norway at the moment for you?
Life is really quite nice. It's sunny outside and good atmosphere. So
it must be, the light must be shining all the way from Blackpool. It must be that strong. It's going north because it's not here at the moment. It's still really overcast, but warm. We've got the windows open, but there's no sun. There. So, what is your take, Johan, on how people in your country perceive spiritualism?
Actually, the common Norwegian is actually quite Gnostic. They just don't realize it.
Well, when you say that, right, have you found any opposition to that you are now a Gnostic priest, or in general, are people in Norway swaying more to that?
When I say I'm a Gnostic priest, people will say to me that basically that's the way they have been all along. Right. In some ways, it's easier to start a row, but in other ways, it's harder because people already feel they know this stuff.
I could just imagine you starting a row, Johan. Yes.
Yeah, I plan to.
What do you say, David?
Oh, God, hasn't the world had enough Barneys? I think the situation, Father, is different between Britain and Norway. That's what I'm saying.
Yes. Oh, dear me. So, do you feel... I know this is probably a bit of a silly question to ask, but do you feel, now that you are a priest, you are Father Johan, do you feel different? You know, is your outlook different, or do you just literally just feel perhaps the person that you've always meant to be?
As far as it goes, my official position as a priest is in my mind, it's in my being. It's established and that part, but as a person of spirit, I keep growing each day. So I haven't gone beyond Gnostic, but I become more specialized, if you will.
Right. So when you say specialized, in what context do you mean that?
Insights. I have... to see it this way, if you're first initiated to a Gnostic thoughts and things, you tend to be a bit hesitant and skeptic, but for me, I've been living with this all my life. So now I'm getting to a point where I want action.
So, when you say living with it all your life, Johan, when did spirit really start to, shall we say, grab your attention? You started to think in that way.
In hindsight, I have had it all my life since I was born. I mean, the first dream I had was about spirits. But, of course, that's what I pieced together in hindsight. At the time, I was confused and scared and frustrated. So,
David, you know, yourself, when did you start to think along the lines of spirit?
Gosh, I think rather like Johan, it's just always been there. I tended as a child just to think it was odd that other people weren't talking about it. Not that I was being odd because I was talking about it. I learned quite early on, I suppose, not to make every conversation a moment of sharing spiritualism.
But
it was always a part of my life. You know, strange dreams telling the future. Prophetic is the word I'm avoiding, but that's what they are. You know, strange moments where you're picking things up out of the air, people's thoughts, songs that come up 5 minutes later. No, it's just, I think it's part of life generally. And my sadness, I suppose, for British spiritualism, I can't comment upon Norwegian spiritualism, is that everybody's making these, in a sense, natural things. I mean, we were talking about sensitives a little earlier. These are natural things. You know, they may stretch beyond the natural, but they're natural and they're part of everybody's everyday experience. It saddens me that British spiritualism itself won't acknowledge that and say, look, you know, these are positive, life-affirming experiences, participations with a reality that's much bigger than we think it is, and points beyond itself. You know, oh my God, I've just had a psychic vision. I'm now charging £100 for 1,000 people to come and listen. You know, it's got to stop.
Yes.
It's got to stop, particularly maybe because actually, darling, you're not the only one to have those experiences. You know, no, I'm not talking about specialists like you, Alan, you know, who hone particular skills. And I'm certainly not talking about up-and-coming young writers like Johan. I'm talking about those people that feel, oh, something's odd has happened, let's make it a financial transaction.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
And what annoys me is British spiritualism itself isn't saying, look, there's a difference between these things. Yes, there is lots and lots of sensitized people, but that's good and it's widespread. But maybe mediumship is not as widespread, and maybe, you know, people who've had deep experiences of the other side of higher worlds, then that's very rare indeed. And I blame modern British spiritualism for that.
You see, I suppose also the word spirit conjures up so many different things in so many people's minds. And majority of people who are, shall we use the expression, into spirit, are good, decent people who are trying to help other people and do things for the right reasons. Then, but then you'll always get the minority who make it bad for the majority, who just see it as a way of, let's put it politely, capitalising on the situation, or put it not in a very nice way, just robbing people.
I prefer the not very nice way, because that's what it amounts to. I mean, right, Richard Dawkins is not a particular friend of spiritualism, but I think he hits things on the head sometimes. You know, he says about lots of people who claim to be working with spirit, it wouldn't make, you know, they wouldn't be able to get past commercial law. It's so vague.
Yes.
You know, the Trade Descriptions Act would kick in. And I think, yes, you're entirely right. You know, you know, my leg hurts. Right, give me £100, or yours will hurt too, and I can stop it. You know, for God's sake, you know, it distresses me deeply that the worship side of all this has gone missing, effectively, even in spiritualist churches. You know, it's not just about having a president and a medium for the evening. As I said, you know, as I've said to you two, until, you know, blood's coming out your ears, how many times do people need the same demonstrations of mediumship? Why can't we use development circles in the way they used to be used to genuinely become acts of worship, meditation and prayer, and develop our spirituality by genuinely working as a group with the spirit? Such assemblies used to be called churches, and that was how the churches began. We're throwing away the baby with the bathwater and letting commerce spoil the pitch, and I think it's very dangerous for our future.
Yeah, it's I don't know, it's strange the way, especially in this country, you know, obviously other countries I can't comment on, but in this country, it's kind of now totally accepted, but people still, it's odd, people accept it, but they don't accept it. Does that make does that make sense, David? It's like contradicting.
Oh, Alan, it's that typical British, I want to do what I want to do, but I don't like the consequences and I don't want the responsibility.
Yes.
It's just, I'm sure that's becoming actually a more widespread disease than just a British one, but, you know, we're really guilty of that. Oh my God, marvellous me is just as a psychic experience, and I am charging all of you up. Yes, it really does get up my nose. You know, I mean, whatever happened to humility? You know, why is that such a dreadful thing? No, it's not saying you're at the bottom of the pile, keep down there and obey what I say. It's basically saying the universe is a big, wonderful, magical place, and you are not the centre of it. You know, spirit is everything. We are servants of the spirit. We're participants of the spirit, with the spirit, and that's when the magic begins. If everything is just reduced to a financial opportunity, I despair for the future, I seriously do. Spiritualism in the UK needs to come of age and start acting like it's got something to say, because it really does. And by the way, we've got real enemies and real opponents, and it suits them to the ground to see the shambles that we've become in front of them.
Yes, I do agree with that.
You're too strong. I feel very strongly on this.
Not at all. Not at all. You see, also, people label people. People actually want to put people into categories, and I think I've actually said this to you before, David. About in some ways, Valentinian Gnosticism is there to be open to everybody, for everybody to have an understanding and bring people closer together. Unfortunately, the terminologies, shall we say, bishop, priest, deacon, people straight away, if you somebody asks you, you know, your name, yeah. your title, it straight away they think of mainstream religious organisations,
yeah.
don't they?
Yeah.
And I suppose, in a sense, have us as Valentinian Gnostic people created our own barrier to... Is there other terminologies that could be used?
Yeah.
I don't know, but that's just me thinking out loud. I don't know what you think of that.
No,
Gareth.
Alan, you've got a very, very strong point, and it's been haunting me recently. No pun intended.
Yeah.
You know, the trouble is we're on the horns of a dilemma. We've got to start somewhere, you know, and we're part of a tradition that went before us, but we've got to start somewhere. It's a shame that those terms haven't really got the shining respect that they used to have, and that's the fault of the churches and their constant abuse of these gifts. I don't know. I mean, you know, maybe these terms can be revived. Maybe they can get their old luster back. Certainly, as you know, I'm also an active pagan. I mean, I come from that side of it all. And I prefer in those circles to be addressed with the word Godi, which is the old word for priest, of course, for the simple reason that it doesn't have the associations of bishop or priest or whatever. I suspect our Italian brothers are holding on to that for the simple reason that they're trying to preserve a tradition. But maybe we need to think amongst ourselves when the British churches get going, when our contribution to the tradition gets going a little further. Are they the best terms? I fully agree with you on that. You know, maybe we need something very modern. Anyway, I prefer, I suppose, overall minister. You know, something nice and non-hierarchical. You're looking at two different models here. The idea of priest or presbyter is the idea that an intermediary, dare I say medium, is used by the community to reach higher realities. Now, even in those days, they weren't denying that most people had psychic experiences, but they were saying there were certain special people that had a particular type of gift whereby they could interact with spirit directly, and I think spiritualists do still think that.
Yes.
Overall, I prefer the word minister, because that tends to come from the rabbinical model, the Jewish model, whereby you're saying someone is a religious professional. So they conduct the rituals. They have a great deal of knowledge and training in a particular area. And yes, you know, they might indeed be a medium, but if not, they can work with a medium. So maybe we're looking at, you know, that type of terminology as we go on. I think it's very early days for any of us to be able to say that. You know, what do you think, Johan? I mean, what's the experience in Norway?
Experience about... how we perceive it, or how we act upon it?
No, how those words are used over there. Priest, bishop.
Oh, they are used loosely, I think. But as far as my own experience goes, it is sort of a bird. Status, it's that it's floating together, because so far the Gnostic side is in reality in people's hearts. It's more serious than let's say the homophobic church. Because we don't care in you know, what's outside. We care about what's inside.
Yeah. What about you, Alan? What do you think?
I feel that it is Johan says it is important what we stand for, and by that I actually mean to, as I said before, to bring people together, to respect everybody's point of view and how they perceive their life, but hopefully in the knowledge of being able to pass on our experiences so they can understand perhaps what's going on in their lives. The actual titles, I suppose, are important in the sense that people expect a title, don't they? You know, it is the way that this world has been created. It's an acknowledgement, I suppose, that it's perceived that people have got to a position through what they've done in their life, so some kind of acknowledgement. Yeah, yeah. But on the basis of it, God doesn't really need an doesn't need a title for us to be able to do the work that we pertain to do. But I think for other people, it's important. So I suppose that's the way to look at it.
Well, you know, they're like academic qualifications. You know, you've honed a skill, you've put the time in, you've done the work. Therefore, this is your diploma. This is where you've arrived. Yeah. You know, there's the real danger of levelling everything down where no one's got anything distinctive to say. I'm completely against that. Instead of raising everybody up in their uniqueness to higher worlds. And that's, I'd say, the difference between, say, Gnosticism and Quakerism, which you know I'm very influenced by. Quakerism is unity at all costs, and there's no criticism I've got whatsoever against the Quakers, maybe apart from this tiny, tiny quibble. But Gnosticism would say, yes, we are all one, we're all bonded, but we're also unique. We've all got unique potentials and gifts and ways of interacting with spirit, and they should be explored uniquely for the benefit of all.
Yeah, indeed.
Well, I don't know about Gnostics on this one.
I do apologise, Johan, but we are literally out of time. It's gone so quickly. So I have to say goodbye to everybody and thank everybody for being there in the chat room and out there in internet land. I think it's been an extremely good show. That's my own opinion, David.
Yeah, it's been a good show.
And Johan, so we do thank you so much for coming in at the last minute. It's so kind of you, and I hope that the rest of the day goes well for you and for all our listeners. So the reason why we're probably be a little minute late finishing the show is because, as the song says, Jimmy Somerville says, I can never say goodbye, but we've got to. So goodbye.